Psalm 23, Bible lesson number 3, March 2nd. I hope I have the strength to through this class. I didn't sleep good last night. My wife's in the bed sleeping now. She's got many health problems. I've got many health problems. And if we're going to make it through without any problems, but I want to teach this third hour this morning if I can. I'm living this very psalm right now. That's why I know it's real in our souls. It's all I have. It's all any of us can have. We hold on to. The Lord is my shepherd. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is truth. We thank you for every opportunity that we have to study and teach the word of the living God. We pray you'll take this doctrine and make it real in our life. Father, we pray that I will get the thank you. I can teach it to my own soul, but we pray also possible these classes will be able to be copied and sent out, and those who receive them will study them and benefit from them, Father. Understand the wonderful blessings that come only from you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've ever done for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're living in a time of great testing. We know so many people who are going through very, very rough times right now. Psalm 22:8 says, "Rest my soul, thy God." I'm sorry, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Psalm 32:8 says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Jean Darby wrote a poem, "Rise, my soul, thy God directs thee. Stranger hands no more impend. Pass thou on, his hands protect thee. Strength to this captive freed. Light divine surrounds thy going, God himself shall mark thy way, secret blessings richly flowing lead to everlasting day." What a blessing to know that everything that we have comes from God and is a blessing from him. We're still an introduction to this tremendous psalm, the very name that we're introduced to, Jehovah. Tetragrammaton, J-H-V-H. Joe, if you prefer the alternative spelling, and Yahweh, I'm not going to argue with you. Either way about it, Joe was found in more Bibles and been used more. And over the years, that was the way I was trained at it, and I was later told I was trained all wrong, but I can't help that. But the very issue of Jehovah, stepping forward, David saying of Jehovah, which is one of the three primary names of God. Understand this. Elohim, the first name given in the Bible, E-L-O-H-I-M, is the first of the three primary names of God. We've explained to you that it has latent within it the whole Trinity, but it was studied under the concept of God, of looking at one God. To the Jewish people, they couldn't understand the Trinity and concept of it. Jehovah is brought into it in a unique relationship to God. Jehovah is distinctly the redemption name of deity. The primary meaning of the name Lord, Jehovah, is a self-existing one. Literally, as in Exodus 13:14, he is the one who is, therefore, the eternal I am. Havah, H-A-V-A-H, from which Jehovah or Yahweh, his form signifies to become and is to become known, thus pointing to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. Combining these meanings of Havah, we arrive at the meaning of the name Jehovah. He is the self-existent one who reveals himself. The name is in itself an advance upon the name of God, El, Allah, Elah, Elah, or Elohim, Elohim. It is significant that the first appearance of the name Jehovah in Scripture follows the creation of man. It is God Elohim who said, "Let us make man in our image." When man in the second chapter of Genesis is to fill the scene, become dominant over creation, is the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, who acts, thus clearly indicating a special relationship of deity in his Jehovah character to man, and all Scripture emphasizes this. Jehovah is distinctly the redemption name of deity. When sin entered and redemption became necessary, it is Jehovah Elohim who sought the sinning ones in Genesis 3:9-13. He clothed them with a coat of skins in Genesis 3:21, a beautiful type, a righteous provided by the Lord God through sacrifice, Romans 3:21-22. And I hope you'll look up all these verses. We'd take a year and never get anywhere done if we went through all this again. We've taught it in the past. The first revelation of God as Jehovah, showing himself by this name, was in connection with the redemption of his covenant people Israel, Exodus 3:13-17. We'll take a moment and glance at that passage. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is the name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." As Redeemer emphasis is laid upon the attributes of Jehovah, which the sin and salvation of man bring to exercise. As Redeemer, we see God's holiness. Leviticus 11:44-45, 19:1-2, 20:26, Habakkuk 1:2-13. We see his hatred and judgment of sin. Deuteronomy 32:35-42, Genesis 6:5-7, Psalm 11:4-6. 66:18, Exodus 34:6-7. His love for and redemption of sinners, but always righteously. Genesis 3:21, 8:20-21, Exodus 12:12-13, Leviticus 16:2-3, Isaiah 53:5-10. Salvation by Jehovah apart from sacrifice is unknown in Scripture. His redemption relationship to man, Jehovah, has seven compound names which reveal him as meeting every need of man with lost state to the end. These compound names are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22:13, provide a sacrifice, provide everything we need, Jehovah Rapha, P-A-H, the Lord that healeth, Exodus 15:26. This refers to physical healing. context shows, but the deeper healing of the soul, mainly melody, is implied. Jovenician ISSI, the Lord our banner, Exodus 17, 8 to 15. The name is interpreted by the context. The enemy was Amalek, a type of the flesh, and the conflict that day stands for the conflict of Galatians 5, 17, the war of the spirit against the flesh. Victory was wholly due to divine help of Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah with S-H-A-L-O-M, the Lord of peace, the Lord send peace, Judges 6:24. Almost the whole ministry of Jehovah finds expression and illustration in that chapter. Jehovah hates and judges sin, verses 1 to 5. Jehovah loves and saves sinners, verses 7 to 18, but only through sacrifices, 19 to 21. We put that with Romans 5, 1, Ephesians 2, 14, Colossians 1, 20. And we have Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H, the Lord my shepherd, Aroha, R-O-H, right? Depending on your choices. But I have the Lord my shepherd, Psalm 23. In Psalm 22, Jehovah makes peace by the blood of the cross. In Psalm 23, Jehovah is shepherding his own who are in the world, as we've seen from John 10, 7. Then Jehovah Sikenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23, 6. In the name of Jehovah, the name of Jehovah occurs as a prophecy concerning the future restoration and conversion of Israel. Then Israel will hail him as Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, S-H-A-M-M-A-H, the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:35. The name signifies Jehovah's abiding presence with his people, Exodus 33:14, 15, 1 Chronicles 16, 27, 33, Psalm 16, 11, Matthew 28, 20, Hebrews 13, 5. Lord Jehovah is also the distinctive name of deity as the covenant with Israel, Exodus 19, 3, 21 and 2, Jeremiah 31 to 34. The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, is the first of the compound names of deity. Lord God is used distinctively in the revelation of deity to man as creator in Genesis 2, 7 to 15, as morally and authority over man in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, as creating and governing the earthly relationship of man, Genesis 2, 18 to 24, 3, 16 to 19, 22, 24, as redeeming man, Genesis 3, 8 to 15 and 21, the relation of deity to Israel, Genesis 24, 7, 28, 13, Exodus 3, 15, 18, 4, 5, 5, 1, 7, 6, Deuteronomy 1, 11, 21, 4, 1, 6, 3, 12, 1, Joshua 7, 13, 19, 20, 10, 40, 42, Judges 2, 12, 1 Samuel 2, 30, 1 Kings 1, 48, 2 Kings 9, 6, 10, 31, 1 Chronicles 22, 19, 2 Chronicles 1, 9, Ezra 1, 3, Isaiah 21, 7. So we have here the introduction of Jehovah, the eternal, the ever-living one. The word Yah, J-A-H, the independent one, is a sublime title found in Psalm 68:4. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. The same Hebrew word occurs over 40 times in Isaiah, the Psalms, and Exodus, which is translated the Lord in the English Bible. It's to be regretted that various titles of God have not been given their Hebrew significance. Often they are indifferently translated, much to our loss, even by the modern translators, who claim they can do a better job than the early translator. Yah is a shortened form of Jehovah, which, though compelling to mention such a name, the transcribers dare not write it in full. Pronounced Yah, or J-H-Y-A, his name signifies he is and can be made to correspond to I am, just as Jehovah corresponds to the full expression I am that I am. The name Yah first occurs in the original in the triumphal song of Moses in Exodus 15:2. Among the references, the one of Isaiah suggestive, Jehovah is Yah, the rock of ages, Isaiah 26:4. So we see Jehovah, when David says, Jehovah is my shepherd, Jehovah my shepherd, is shepherding me, we have to go back and see the Yah and get the meaning there and then come forward with it in the concept. Jehovah is what is meant by Yah, the everlasting, eternal one, and so an everlasting refuge and defense. The song of salvation proves God to be present, a perpetual support and security. Trust ye in Jehovah forever, for in Yah Jehovah is the rock of ages. Three times over in Isaiah, Jehovah is compounded with Yah. In one case, the name of God are duplicated, another triplicated. In the reference to Miriam's song, we have the combination. Yah Jehovah is my strength and my song, for both present and future deliverance are implied. Isaiah 12:2. In Hezekiah's lament, as he faces death, we have the repetition, I shall not in the land of the living see Yah. Isaiah 38:11. Such a sigh implies that the king, in the experience of a present daily life, would be whole. The present God is affirmed that as Yah is the present tense of the verb to be. It suggests Jehovah as the present living God, the presence of God in daily life, or his present activity and oversight on behalf of his own. We see this in the whole concept of God as a shepherd. God the Father is the shepherd of David and is the shepherd of Christ. And in Christ and his resurrection body, see at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our shepherd. Not the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, the first of the three types of the shepherd. Keeping in mind that Christ went to the cross and his cross work. Without it, we would have nothing. But remembering that his cross work was done as the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep, but in taking care of us, he is the great shepherd. And coming at the kingdom, he will be the chief shepherd. As the great shepherd, he is ever present with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will never leave you nor forsake me, you Hebrews said. Yah then is a short form of the inevitable name. Jehovah is interwoven like other divine names with human names, always with a particular purpose and meaning. Many more names contain Yah at the end than at the beginning, probably in accordance with Jewish habit of reverence to assign the divine name the less rather than the more prominent position of Abiah, meaning whose father is Jehovah. We have Yahzei, Yahzeel. The oft-repeated explanation, praise ye the Lord, is praise ye Yah, or hallelujah. From the manifold use of Yah in the Psalms, we find God extolling us as the one who rideth upon the heavens, father of the fatherless, and judge of widows to the destitute and desolate. The ever-present helper Yah is ever a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. So we take and understand that in Jehovah the shepherd, we go back to the root word of Yah and see the importance of what the shepherd is doing for us, coming out of understanding Jehovah, going back, as we say, the shortened form of it, I should say. The songwriter has written, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears, no bitterness. Where is death's sting, where gray thy victory, I triumph still. If thou abide with me. William Kelly said of Psalm 23, here is not suffering from man answered by judgment from God executed by Messiah, nor is it suffering from God issued in his blessing and his people's praise. Yea, from all that fear him by Jehovah's constant tender care when death is still ravaged and the enemy is not yet expelled, nor his blessings only, but himself proved and tested, faithful and good now and nevermore. Through Christ, though Christ was a shepherd, yet he traveled the path alone, absolutely dependent and perfectly confiding in his Father's will. Major Works Commentary, Psalm 23 of William Kelly. 19th century Brethren Bible teacher, outstanding, that I've quoted many times. During his first advent, the Father worked as the shepherd of Christ's human nature, but Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hereunto, and I work, John 5:17. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled the duties of the Good Shepherd, John 10, which we've seen. And thus he won his spurs of knighthood. Hebrews 1:1-14 is Christ's spurs of knighthood, the great Father's proclamation when Christ entered the third heaven in his resurrection body where no human had ever been. During the first advent, Christ declared that no man ascended up into heaven but the Son of Man has ascended down. The God-man, that mystical concept of the hypostatic union. Christ entered literally into the flesh of the hypostatic union at the moment of conception, when the Holy Spirit cleansed the womb of Mary, purified the egg of all human defects. Wasn't old sin nature there, just human defects, the results of the old sin nature. And the Father implanted the miraculous egg inside of her. I'm sorry, the miraculous sperm. The sperm of Adam, so he could truly be called the last Adam. With all the other miracle products of it, so he could be called the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, son of Abraham, and implied for the covenant the son of Isaac and Jacob, truly the son of David. At that moment, God the Son entered into him so that one person would be in the womb in two people. We cannot imagine what the condescension of God the Son to enter into the womb of Mary and a fertilized egg at the moment of fertilization by the Father and dwell there as his human nature was being shaped. It's beyond our finite concepts. But it's true. Beyond any doubt. He won his spurs on knighthood, following the Father as his shepherd throughout his entire life on this earth. Therefore, Jesus became our great shepherd, Hebrews 30:20, and our chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4. Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd and the guardian of our souls, 1 Peter 2:25 says, for you were continually straying like sheep, and now we have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. David, like his father Jesse, was a shepherd, 1 Samuel 6:11-19. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obededom the Gittite 3 months. I'm sorry. I went to 2 Samuel and needed 1 Samuel, as I said. I'm teaching this class sick, but able to teach, and thank God for that. 1 Samuel 6. I may make some more mistakes in this class. I pray I don't. I'll try to correct them if I do. I slept very little last night. I'm in some pain and suffering, but I want to teach what I can teach. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. By the time you get these tapes, these problems will hopefully be behind me, or I'll be in heaven or something will have happened. We don't know. But 1 Samuel 16:11 says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all these your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes in. Verse 19. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. David knew by experience what it took to be a good shepherd. When David acknowledged Jehovah Roi to be his personal shepherd, he did it by saying that Jehovah Shepherd is shepherding me. It was not just a title that David was led the Spirit to give to Jehovah in the testimony of prayer of adoration. It was a title based upon the work of the Father in regard to David's. Personal life. How we find ourselves and where we find ourselves is amazing. We have pointed out to you that this psalm sometimes been called the Psalm of the Crook. It lies between the Psalm of the Cross and the Psalm of the Crown. If the 22nd tells of the Good Shepherd who died, if the 24th tells of the Chief Shepherd who is coming again, the 23rd tells of the Great Shepherd who keeps his flocks with unerring sagacity and untiring devotion. No hireling is he. He asks no wage. He takes no reward. He counts not the cost. The sheep are his own. These sweet words we learn that he is towards them today in all his shepherd tenderness and love. Robert T. Ketchum wrote, by the way of further introduction to the psalm, we shall now like to call to your attention the fact that the opening verse begins the theme of the entire psalm. Much, if not most, of the blessed truth set forth in the psalm will be utterly missed unless the reader and student takes the shepherd which he meets in verse 1 with him throughout the entire psalm. In other words, the psalm will become just a repetition of things which the shepherd provides. Blessed things, it is true, but nevertheless things as they are contemplated apart from the shepherd. Some have spoken of this psalm as a creed. And I want you to think of this because it's become a creed to me in my dying days or old age or whatever it is I'm going through in my life. A creed of practical theology to live by. We have read of one believer who was a deep thinker on doctrine, but was wearied with perplexing questions that agitated his soul and that of so many other hearts and brains in an age of questioning. People would question, well, do you believe this, do you believe that, all the little things that they were into and all. And what his dependence was, pressed to give a positive affirmation of an absolute creed, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is said to have quoted these words with solemn pathos of voice and kindling rapture in his eye. And when he finished the old psalm, he added these words, "That is my creed I need, I desire no other. I learned it from my mother's lips. I have repeated it every morning when I awoke for the last 20 years, yet I do not half understand it. I'm only beginning now to spell out the infinite meaning, and death will come on me with the task unfinished. But by the grace of Jesus, I will hold on to this psalm as my creed and will strive to believe it and to live it, for I know that it will lead me to the cross. It will guide me to glory." I want you to see the wonders of this psalm. The testimony is true. F.B. Myers points out, and as one looked into some priceless gem, you may see fountains of color welling upwards from its depths, which shall gaze in these verses, simple as childhood rhymes, but deep as an archangel's anthem. We shall see in them the gospel in miniature, the grace of God reflected as the sun and the dewdrop, and the things which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceive. Read these words, the meaning of the gospels, and you have the unrivaled creed to which all Christians may unhesitatingly assent. What a concept it is to see the 23rd Psalm. Meyer says to see a masterpiece of painting on the walls of an art gallery while the throng of conventional sightseers is pressing past is a very different matter to seeing it quietly on the wall of some stately mansion, where there is time to sit down and drink in the artist's thoughts or catch the different lights of early morning or noon of the fading day. My wife and I have been in art galleries a few times. Not as many as we would have liked because time pressed so much in our lives. We stopped at some art galleries years ago when my wife was going through some medical treatments and stuff, and there was a gallery not far from it that we had time on our hands. We could go there and look at the paintings, but we always had to look in fairly hurry. I'd never been among the wealthy and invited to sit down in a mansion with great works of art and look at beautiful landscapes and paintings of beauty and art in a way on the walls of things. But I've seen pictures of books of art. My mother had books of art, replica stuff to look at and things. When I was a boy, we were taken to art galleries and taken through to see things. But you go in as a crowd, you don't see something, but to sit and think and contemplate upon a picture. Great artists used to sit in front of the masters, they say, and copy the masters, trying to replicate the work before them.